I want us to turn back to the section we read and the section we looked at this morning, Luke chapter 10, and our text tonight from verse 39, but looking again at the section from verse 38 to 42. Luke 10:39, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." This morning we looked at Martha, the sister who served. And this evening I want us to look at Mary, the sister who sat. But as Martha was burdened and distracted with the household duties and the serving that she had taken on, her sister, and possibly a younger sister, chooses a very different path, to simply sit and listen to the Lord. Sounds very easy to do that. Sounds very attractive, appealing, and simple, just to sit and listen to the Lord. But I'm sure, friends, that many here have discovered just how hard it can be to follow Mary's example. Some of you have found it so hard as to be impossible thus far to sit and listen to the Lord. Plenty of things can look deceptively easy at first glance until you try it yourself. And then you realize it is not so simple after all. Different examples we could think of perhaps in this context. I always envied those who are able to hold a harmony in a psalm tune. When you hear it together, it sounds so obvious that one note should match the other and it sounds simple, but trying to follow it, I can't do it. Mary just sat and listened. How hard can it be? Well, let's consider Mary of Bethany, the sister who sat. And we can begin the same way, really, we began with Martha. Our first point is Mary's intention to serve the Lord. Mary's intention to serve the Lord. Mary of Bethany, there are lots of Marys, so it's worth knowing which one we're talking about. This Mary of Bethany is one part of a famous family of three. Along with Sister Martha, there is also Brother Lazarus. Now, by this stage in the ministry of Christ, as far as we can ascertain, Lazarus has not yet died. And Mary, this Mary here, has not yet anointed the feet of Christ with spikenard and wiped his feet with her hair. These are two other very well-known events that happened to this family. Well, a little bit earlier in the timeline. She is, though, clearly a spiritually discerning lady. We have no indication of her age. You may assume one, but we don't have any. There may have been an elderly family. There may have been a younger family. We simply don't know. And she was part of the home that opened up to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. And whatever different paths, if you like, that Mary and Martha soon appear to take, however divergent they become, there is simply nothing to indicate anything other than that the two ladies were completely of the one mind as far as inviting Jesus into their home is concerned. This is a text and section that you will read through and you will notice how much it focuses on the differences between these two women. That's really the point of the record. And yet, given that the text focuses upon differences so much, it is very telling then, I think, that it is nowhere mentioned or indicated or implied in any way that they had any difference of view as to inviting Christ home. And so we should take it, I think, that this was no wedge between them at all. And that Mary was every bit as willing to host Jesus, every bit as welcoming to the Saviour and his accompanying disciples as Martha was. because she too was intending to serve the Saviour. And that alone should surely put this question to our door tonight. Mary was ready to serve Christ. Martha was ready to serve Christ. Am I? Are you? Are you here tonight because you are ready to serve the Lord Christ? Are you here to give yourself to Him? Is that what has brought you into the house of God? Are you here to give your life to Him, to give your time to Him, to put your sins, as it were, nail them to His cross, to place your heart into His hands? Your body into His grave, that you may rise with Him one day. I think we should all be quite shocked, wouldn't we, if some clever theologian squeezed out some sort of otherwise hidden meaning in one of the ancient words of the text to claim that, oh, look, by this word, the way we can bring it out now, we now understand that Mary was quite unwilling. Mary had no intention of serving the Lord. That's not here. Everything about where she was seems to imply her readiness to serve the Lord. And here we are tonight in a public building. It's open to anyone to come in. At least the vast majority, if not everybody in the district, knows that the churches are open on Sunday night. And I would suggest to you that if Mary was to come here tonight, she wouldn't look any different to the rest of us. She would come in quietly and respectfully and sit down gently and cause no disturbance in the place at all in order that she might hear the word of Christ. And if Mary would look just like us in church, then has it occurred to you that we would look just like her? Everyone here would. It looks for all the world to any outsider who was observing, as it were, who was a fly on the wall, as we say, an impartial observer of what's going on. It looks tonight here as if we are a collection of souls, of men and women and boys and girls, who are all of us presenting ourselves before the Lord in order to serve Him. It looks that way for everyone here. No one here gives the least outward indication of objection or resentment at being here. You know how to come into church. You know how to sit down. You know when to stand for the prayer. You know when to open your Bible. You know when to sing the Psalms. We would all look, as it were, as Mary looked. But is that really the case? Answer it quietly, friends, in the privacy, in the secrecy of your own heart tonight. Are you someone who is here to serve Christ? Can there be any other reason or any other explanation for your presence? Now, sadly, we know that there can be. There can be other reasons why you're here tonight. Take a look at why you have come tonight, friend. You know how welcome you are in the house of God. You know how much we treasure to see you come into our congregation. How much we pray that you are, in fact, here for this great and godly reason to serve the Lord Christ. That's a phrase that Paul uses in Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Everything about Mary, the way she came in and sat down, would have you conclude she is here to serve the Lord Christ. So in this way, the sisters seem to start off on exactly the same path. Both intending to serve the Saviour. But we saw this morning that Mary soon became distracted. But for our second point, Martha soon became distracted. But for our second point, we can have it that Mary is attracted. Mary is attracted, secondly. Whilst Martha became increasingly distracted and therefore distant from the Saviour, Mary has quite the opposite experience. Friends, would that some sinner here tonight was being drawn and attracted into the love of the Saviour. An old sinner or a young sinner, a man or a woman drawn to the love of the Saviour, attracted to Christ. Notice then that Mary stayed close to the Saviour. We mentioned this morning the similarity between Martha's temperament and Peter's temperament. But also we see how Mary is like John. John, you remember, sat right next to the Saviour in the upper room at the supper. He even leaned upon the Saviour's breast. Mary, too, seats herself as close to the Saviour as she dare. And the closeness is perhaps even more emphatic than we have it in our translation, which also sat at Jesus' feet. We could translate it as Mary, which also sat down near to his feet, was listening to his word. The nearness is implied in the way she sits down and then again in the way how close she is to his feet. She is right next to him, as close as she could get. And this makes it, we think, therefore, very likely that Mary would have heard Martha's complaint. Unless they whispered with extreme quietness, Mary would have heard what Martha said. And it must have hurt her. But Mary was there, not really to hear what Martha would say about her. She was there to hear the words of the Saviour. That's why she sat there. That's why she welcomed him in. That's the service she wanted to render to him, that she could listen to him so that she might hear his voice and drink in his message. She was wonderfully drawn to the person and message of this rabbi of Galilee. She had never heard any man speak as this man spoke. And she heard him gladly, transfixed by the message that he carried, and she fed upon his word. She sat at his feet right next to him. It is a wonderful attraction. It is a spiritual attraction. It is a result of a drawing by the Spirit of Christ in the heart of this lady, Mary, towards the Lord Jesus. He is drawing her to himself. If you know that drawing as you sit under the word, whether tonight or at any point in your life, thank God for it. If you have that drawing to the word and message of Christ, cherish it. If you feel you're losing that attraction, plead with the Lord to recover it in your heart. If you do not yet know that attraction to the Lord and to the gospel, beg to God that he would give it to you. That he would give you such an attraction to Christ as would make you to go and gladly sit at his feet for hour after hour after hour. To serve him with your whole heart. Is there not, friend, perhaps one soul here tonight, hidden to the rest of us, One soul here tonight, secretly, inwardly, truly attracted to the Saviour. Might that be you, dear friend, tonight? Others don't notice you. And outwardly, nothing has changed since last time you were here. But there is now a fire burning. There is now a thirst growing that only the words of the gospel, only the blessing of the Saviour seem to be able to reach and to quench and to touch. Nothing but Christ will satisfy you. That's how Mary was with Jesus. She is first of all drawn in. For her part, she starts by sitting and listening at his feet. But there's also a conscious choosing. There is this drawing, but there is also this choosing, this embracing. It was a choice. Notice that. Martha missed this altogether. She no doubt knew her sister well. They were so close. But yet she missed the fact that Mary had made a choice. She assumed that Mary was just ignoring the work that needed to be done. That she was skiving the cooking and the cleaning in the kitchen. But no, the Lord enlightens us. Mary had considered the options and chosen the good part. It was no accident that she sat at his feet. It was a choosing. It was freely done. It was no one forcing her, bullying her, pressing their views onto her. She chose it. Mary hath chosen that good part. The one thing needful, Mary's chosen it. Can you say that, friend, tonight? Can you make this choice of the one thing needful tonight? You might know and be aware already. It might already be in your mind that we have to be careful about using language like this, language about choosing and choice in the things of God. It can be misunderstood. And the issue with choosing Christ is that the will is in bondage. And yet, Mary chose the good part. And she really chose. It was a real choice. I can still ask you tonight this question. Are you choosing to sit at the feet of Christ? Is there a desire in your heart? Is there a purpose in your will to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord, to listen to his voice, to be as close to him as you possibly can, more than anything? It is a sweet choice. It is a good part. It is a wise choice. It is the right choice. It is a choice of grace. That's what Mary makes. She makes a choice of grace. And by that I mean, it is a choice that grace always makes. And the choice that grace alone can make. The natural man, still in his sins or in her sins, still unforgiven, cannot choose Christ and would not choose Christ. The unsaved soul has no desire for Jesus. No attraction to his word, no affection for his love, no interest in his death, no appreciation for his cross, no drawing to his message. It cannot be done. You see, I am asking, if you choose Christ, because it is an evidence that you are saved if you do. And an evidence that you are not saved if you can't. If you cannot yet choose the Lord, though you sit here as Mary would sit here, then there's the evidence, it is the proof, that you are on that dangerous broad road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. The matter of your will is vital in the things of God. Of course it is. It is a sure litmus test. The will won to the Saviour delights to be near him, closes in with him, takes him as he offers himself in his gospel and in his grace. But the will that is not yet Christ's stands aloof from all the offers of the gospel, stands back, incapable of reaching out to receive the gospel, incapable of understanding this demand to believe in Christ and repent. The will that is not yet in Christ is frustrated at the impasse, but utterly helpless to overcome it. That's why we ask you tonight, friend, have you chosen the good part? Because that question will tell you where you lie spiritually. It will give you an infallible answer. You often might wonder and question and wish to know, where am I? Am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? What am I? Here's a way to discern where you are. Do you choose Christ or not? And we say that not to give despair to any. Tonight, even if you cannot yet close with the Saviour, don't give up. Because now you know where the problem really lies. It lies in the hard unwillingness of your heart. And that means that you now know what to ask for. You need a new heart and a new will. If you can't want Christ, the problem is not with Christ, but with your wants and desires and heart. Ask for a new heart. Ask for one that is attracted to the Saviour, like Mary. Thirdly, Mary is vindicated. Martha was rebuked. Mary is rather vindicated. Mary was not lazy. She was not avoiding her jobs, her duties, her work. She was wise. She was not avoiding serving Christ. She was serving him in a better way. She was serving him by choosing to sit and listen to every word that he said. Just like the woman at the well, Christ said of her, when she'd gone away and the disciples came back, you remember they said, has someone given him something to eat or to drink? I have food ye know not of. My soul has been spiritually nourished and refreshed by my interaction with this woman of Samaria. So it was for Christ interacting with Mary as he preached, as he spoke, as he taught, and she stuck to him like glue and listened to his every word. She served him with such devotion. It was a good service. She has chosen that good part. It's not only that describing what Mary has done, she hath chosen the good part. It is surely a vindication of her choice. It was a good choice. She chose the best option. There are many ways to serve. There are different ways to serve. But Mary's choice couldn't have been bettered. She chooses to serve him by sitting and listening to him, by responding, Christ says, to my message in her heart, by drinking in my truth in her soul. This is what the Savior does, you see. He always stands up for his people. He vindicates them. They may be accused. They may be maligned, misunderstood by others, but never by the Savior, never by the Lord. Christians, even as here, can totally misunderstand other Christians. We get them all ends up wrong. We ascribe motives to them that are nothing further from the truth. And yet Mary says not one word in her defense. In fact, I'm not sure we ever hear of Mary's voice, particularly in the scripture, apart from when her brother dies. But certainly here, nothing is recorded of anything she said. The Saviour comes to her rescue. He's always ready to do that. He's always ready to take up the cause of his beloved people. And that means that Christians can safely leave this matter of our own personal vindication in Christ's hands. Mary's silence in this section, I think, is itself an evidence of grace. Assuming, if we will, that she had heard at least something of what her sister was saying and implying about her. Assuming that she recognized maybe the tone, maybe the spirit, maybe the look on her sister's face, if not the words themselves. Yet she is nowhere recorded as objecting or refuting these unwarranted accusations from Martha. She had not failed to serve the Lord. She may have been sitting there thinking, well, all I've done is just sit and listen. I should have done so much more. She may not have been in a position in her own heart to defend herself, but Christ did. She had chosen the better way. And she had done it with unwavering attentiveness. She sat and listened. And I mentioned, I think, as we began, how hard that can be. How deceptively difficult to sit and listen. We all remember as children finding that difficult, whether a teacher or a preacher, to just sit and listen, sit still for any length of time. As adults, we remember it, and we also still have it to this day. Just to sit and listen to the word of Christ. Nothing else, just that. How long could you do that for? How long could I do that for? Just to sit and listen to him. How difficult it is not to become distracted like Martha. At the start of a sermon, we determine we're going to listen really well. Or as we come out to church on a Sabbath evening, I'm going to listen to everything tonight. I'm going to be so attentive. I'm not going to get distracted. And before we know it, we're caught away in our thoughts 100 miles off. And we never come back again in our thoughts until the sermon's over. And the Lord is not served in that. But Mary didn't move. She got as close to him as she could. She didn't move her feet. She didn't move her eyes. She didn't close her ears. She took in every word he said, and the Saviour knew it. And the Spirit even confirmed the same to Luke, when the Spirit inspired Luke to say, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Saviour knew this. And I suppose that makes the question then for us this. Would the Saviour vindicate us in this way? If someone came tonight and said, well, the folk in that congregation, they just sat, but they did nothing. They weren't there to serve Christ. What would Christ say about us? Were we attentive to the word of Christ? Were we drinking in the gospel? Were we desperate to hear more from his lips? Or were we just going through the motions? Well, I have no doubt at all, friends, that for some of you here tonight, Christ would gladly, fully, freely vindicate you against any accusations of the kind. He would say, they came to be close to me. They listened carefully for my voice. As my sheep, they know my voice. And that's what mattered to them above everything else. They have chosen the good part. What a wonderful vindication the Lord offers to his own people. What will he say of you tonight? Will he even say of someone here tonight, well, you know, you're right, they came to sit but not to listen. But they heard my voice in the midst of it. This was the night they began to sit and listen, as they've never sat and listened before. Tonight was the night they first served me from the pew, listening to my voice in their heart. Mary is vindicated. And then fourthly and finally, Mary is comforted. We speculate at times, and we don't know if Mary was able to hear all the conversation between Martha and the Lord, but if any of the words here are meant to be heard by Mary, I rather think the last words are especially given by the Lord for her ears to hear, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This serving spirit, this delight that she has in my voice, this worship, this nearness, this good thing that she has chosen, this one thing that is needful, I will never take it from her. If there is one fear that we have as we sit under the gracious, loving voice of the Saviour, perhaps even at a communion season just past, it is that we would lose the blessing. It is that it would all be lost to us, that we would somehow forfeit it. The day would come when we would cast away the blessing, or ourselves be cast away from the blessing and forfeit our place at his feet. Perhaps even here tonight, that is where you are at in your soul. You can follow the sermon. You have seemed to listen to it with new ears. Perhaps you are enjoying it. And you are here, and you are near, and you are in the present, if you like. You are eager, you're attentive, you're wrapped in the blessings of the Lord Jesus alone. But you're afraid of the end of the sermon. You're afraid of the benediction and dismissal. You're afraid of next week. You're afraid that you'll go back, afraid that it will end with a benediction, that you will never hear the word the way you hear the Savior's voice tonight. Yet, hear the loving Lord as he gives this closing comment and comfort to Mary, which shall not be taken away. Mary had plenty of difficulties in her life ahead, if we understand the chronology correctly. She grieved when Lazarus died, but this was not to be taken away from her. She wept tears when she anointed the Saviour, wiping his feet with her hair, anticipating the death of the Lord. And yet this comfort was not to be taken away from her. Nothing in heaven or earth could undo the reality of that experience and that moment. Nothing could rewrite the history of that day when she sat near her Saviour, so near as she dared, at the feet of the Lord, and just heard and just listened until her heart would near burst, attending to every word that came from the gracious lips of the Lord Jesus. She made her choice. She wanted Christ. She wanted his message and his mercy and his pardon and his peace and his love. And nothing could ever take it away from her, because Christ said so. And this comfort is not only recorded here of Mary. It is offered to any here tonight who are in similar circumstance, who are perhaps in special need of it. Are you tonight hearing the voice of the Lord? Are you sat at his feet? Are you choosing that good part, the one thing needful? Are you choosing the side of Christ tonight? It will not be taken from you. it will never be taken from you. Christ gives himself to you in his own entirety and for all eternity. And it's a good choice. And it won't be taken from any of us here who love the Lord and are listening to his voice tonight. May he bless his word. Let us pray.